Welcome to the Third Eye Podcast, a free podcast featuring life's deepest topics and discussions and taking them on a journey through new perception, intellectual thought, and wisdom. Today's episode is on energy. Energy is one of my favorite topics. It's the most inspiring to me and potentially the most mind-blowing. It can also change your life. We're going to start off and explain how energy works in the physical form, and then go along to more of the philosophical idea of energy. So Jake, when I say energy, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Electricity.
And why is that?
Because nowadays we have so many electronics and devices that require electricity, and we get them through different forms of energy, such as wind, solar, or hydroelectric energy.
Yeah, and that's the perfect area to start off. To first understand electricity, or that form of energy, we need to understand how atoms work. And basically an atom has a nucleus, and then they have the electrons around it. And all of energy is just conversion. So electricity is a conversion of energy. So like you said, wind, hydro, solar, all these types of energies that are getting converted into electrical current. Yeah. Electrical current is actually the electrons that are being accelerated through a wire. So the electrons from an atom are being accelerated through wire, usually copper.
Yeah, conductors.
And how this works is in a generator. A generator is basically, or usually, coiled wire and a magnet. And when the magnet runs over this coiled copper wire, it causes the electrons to start moving. And that causes electrical current. Now, you need some sort of energy, some sort of force, to make that magnet move across the coiled wire. So, like you had said, wind energy and hydro. In that case, the wind causes the big turbine to turn, and that when that turbine's turning, it's making magnets go around a coiled wire, causing the flow of electricity. Same general aspect when it comes to hydroelectricity, and that's water. The water causes the turbines to turn, and those turbines, again, have magnets that go over coiled wire. Now, solar energy, it's also a conversion from photons of light. The exact explanation of that, I'm not very familiar with. But we can accept the fact that all energy is just conversion, right?
Yeah.
Now, while we're on the topic of generators and electricity, my first watch was a kinetic watch.
And those are those watches that produce their own energy through movement?
Yeah, so they don't need batteries. They stay on your wrist.
Okay.
While you're walking, any movement you have causes electricity. I never understood how this worked because I got this watch early in high school.
Yeah.
But I took an electrical course, and that's when I had learned how the generator works. And it never occurred to me right away to look at my watch, but at one point, I ended up looking at my watch. And at the back, for any of you listeners out there that have kinetic watches, a lot of them have a clear backing on the watch. And if you look inside that clear backing, you actually see a magnet, and you see coiled copper wire. And if you move, that magnet will move with whatever movement you're doing. And when it's actually making this energy is when that magnet gets moved over top of that copper wire.
Is the energy produced efficient enough? How much energy are we talking about?
My watch in particular, on a full charge, like, it creates energy and then it gets into, like, it's kind of like a battery. It gets stored in somewhere in that watch. And when that energy would get stored, the full charge would be approximately 6 months.
Imagine the endless possibilities having these kinetic energy producers on highways, let's just say. How much energy we could produce?
How so, though? Like, with cars?
Yeah, with cars running over them constantly.
I had actually thought about that idea once, and the thing is, that energy would either have to be magnetic on the car, but then the magnets affecting the car's electrical circuits and that is too dangerous. So you can't use
Sure.
magnets to get the movement from the traffic. And then if you use wind from like transports and that going by, you probably won't have enough force. And then if you want to use the tires, well then the cars would be slowed down because the energy has to be transformed, right?
Yeah.
But it was a good idea if someone could find a way of actually harnessing the wasted energy that cars use. So we've talked about the transformation of energy into electricity, but what about all this other energy before electricity?
So energy from the sun, from the wind,
Exactly.
natural energy.
Yeah, energies that are around us all the time, that are just waiting to be transformed into electricity, but these natural energies, what about them? Where do they come from?
I think they come from the Earth itself, like a gravitational source.
Yeah, so a lot of energies like wind and heat and in that type of induction obviously comes from our planet because of how big it is and all of the way that the habitat and everything works. But on a smaller scale, the energy still has to be there somewhere.
Yeah, I think like us humans have energy and we distribute it not evenly, but we distribute it amongst each other, either through positive or negative energy, as well as nature distributes energy for itself. For example, trees living in the wilderness, a tree will grab energy from other sources. And it will grow up, and then once it dies, it falls down to the ground, disintegrates, and produces more energy for other plants to thrive on.
Yeah, exactly. So anything biological gets its energy from food or some sort of source.
It thrives on energy from itself. It's not, well, I kind of. The sun has UV rays, which helps photosynthesis, right? In green vegetation.
Yeah.
So that's one form of conversion of energy from the sun to vegetation, and then we eat the vegetation, so we're getting another form of energy.
Yeah, it's always transforming, always changing, always getting
Yeah.
harnessed. Now, we know without food or sleep, we won't have any energy. And we can actually feel that every day. If we didn't have breakfast, we're going to feel a little bit weaker. We're going to feel tired, exhausted. And there are some things out there that give more energy than other things. And it all has to do with chemical levels in the brain again. So like caffeine or sugar, it gives you this artificial energy. And I'm not too sure how it works on a biological level. But having caffeine will give you a bigger surge of energy than having a piece of bread, right?
Yeah.
Now, on a more minimalistic level, everything has energy that's just vibrating. And to explain that is back to atoms and science. For those of you who don't really know how atoms work, everything is made up of atoms within the periodic table, and all these atoms have bonds together to create substances or objects or gases or whatever state it is, liquid. And
Gas or
everything,
solid.
yeah, and everything may appear to be solid or being physical, but everything has spaces in between these atoms. And when you break this down and you look at every individual atom, the only differences that they have are the amount of electrons. So a hydrogen atom has one electron, and helium would have two, and then so on. Anyone who's taken any sciences and learned about the periodic table would know that. So everything is basically the same and is made of the same properties. It's all made with the same, like, not the same atoms, but each atom is made relatively the same. It all has the same ingredients, so to speak.
Same concept.
Yeah, they all have the same ingredients, so to speak. Now, every individual atom is vibrating at its own frequency. And that's the biggest, that beauty that I'm talking about, when it comes to energy. Everything has this vibration, and we don't really understand why, but we've harnessed it, and when we create it, we're increasing these frequencies and then making it in a more physical level where we can actually see energy. And that's why, like, each element has their own properties, and like we said earlier, conductors and copper, those are all made up of certain atoms that have something to do with increasing this frequency.
And some elements are more conductive than others, and some end up being insulators.
Yeah, exactly. So the big point here is that everything is made up of energy. Energy is everywhere, energy is in everything, and energy is the main source of anything that's physical, because everything is made out of atoms. So anything that's possible, and energy is the main source of movement and change. And because of that, energy is the reason we have life. Without energy, we wouldn't have anything moving. And the only time that things actually move is when energy is being harnessed. And in a biological level, we use energy in our own ways. And we have our consciousness, and all this goes back to a source of energy. Now, when I say energy is in everything, it's everywhere, and it's basically the source of life. What does that make you think of? And really, anybody, just ponder that question there and think about it. If energy is everywhere and is in everything, and it's the source of life, doesn't that seem a lot like,
God.
yeah, it seems a lot like a religious view. It almost traces back to God. Now, I'm not going to go right ahead and say energy is God, but I think it's our way scientifically to show existence of God. And atheists are so rejectant of the word God or religion, and they push themselves so far away from it, and they don't keep an open mind. But whether you have any religious beliefs or not, you can't rule out the fact that all energy must have a main source of energy. And if energy is the reason why we have life and is in everything and is in air and is all around us, then that is a pretty godly figure. It's almost the same definition. Now, in a religious view, it might not be God, but it is definitely some sort of proof. Because there's got to be an initial source of energy that caused all the other energy that's around us.
Exactly. And it kind of like supports the Big Bang theory. I'm not saying that everything was created by the Big Bang. For those believers that say God created the earth and all that stuff, yes, he created it, but how did he create it? He
Yeah,
created it through the Big Bang.
and don't get me wrong here. In religion, over the years, people got this view of God as being some guy sitting in a cloud. And I'm talking about Christian belief here. But at no point in Christian writings does it talk about a man sitting up in a cloud. The way I see it is, people who were not educated in science were taught religion and then visualized God in their own way, and someone visualized God as being a guy sitting in a cloud. And then over the years, that's how the story was passed down. But if you read biblical references where they say God is everywhere, God is in everything, God is part of everything, and God is the creation of everything, that's pretty scientific to me for the time it was written. And how would anyone know that science back then?
Yeah, it makes sense that it would be energy, because
Exactly.
energy is in everything.
Yeah, it has the same properties, it has the same definition, right? Like I said, I'm not saying for sure 100% that's the way it is and that's what it is.
It's a theory.
But it's definitely a way to open your mind and look at it. It definitely proves religion in some way. I mean, back then they didn't have the technology to look deeply into matter and see what's actually behind it. But in my opinion, nowadays, when we've looked down into that microscope and we've looked as far as we could, as magnified as we could, right down to an atom, and then seen this little vibration, that proved that's a direct source to the Creator. Right? That's a direct source.
It's pretty magnificent how everything vibrates, but you don't see it with the naked eye.
No, and that's the thing, it's so small. A speck of dust has billions of atoms within it.
Everything's so perfect.
And everything follows patterns so perfectly.
Yeah, it reached such an equilibrium, like it's everything's stable.
Everything's so perfect and perfectly created. So now that we understand energy on a, I guess, more or less spiritual level, we can accept the fact that religion has certain properties or characteristics that are the same as science when it comes to energy. And we can start making comparisons. So the whole good and evil in the Bible or in any religious teachings could also be referred to as positive and negative. When you look at energy, there's always opposites. There's always positive, there's always negative. And in order for something to exist, or in order for you to describe something, there needs to be an opposite. How would you know what love would be if there wasn't hate? The
Exactly.
way you define love is by saying, well, it's not hate. And the way you define hate is saying, well, it's not love. If there was no such thing as bad, everything would be good. It would get very boring, there'd be no difference.
But you wouldn't know that it would be good because you don't know what bad is, so things
Exactly.
would just be.
So what's the point of having good if you don't know what good is? You
Yeah.
need bad in order to understand what good is.
Exactly.
Now, if we look at energy as a positive and negative force, actually, before even going there, I just want to state that science has proven that our mind itself has a frequency. And just merely observing something can change its state. So the state of observation can physically change something through frequency.
Cool.
So that being said, if you're observing something in a positive way, you should have a positive outcome. If you observe something in a negative way, you might have a negative outcome. Now, this seems maybe ridiculous saying that if you observe something, it will actually change its physical state. And I'm not talking about like spoon bending here, like people that bend spoons with their minds or whatever, but on a very small level, it does have an effect. And the way I can explain this so that it doesn't seem so far-fetched is that our minds, when we have a thought, accelerate atoms, and these atoms accelerate our neurons in our brain, and they make them fire energy into our nerves, into our arm. And then these arms twitch muscles, and these muscles make our physical arm move. So our thought, this little spark of thought, can create a whole chain of events to make your entire arm move. So your thought is actually changing the physical reality around you already. So if your physical thought can change your body through vibration of atoms, why can't your thought change vibrations outside of your body? And that's where the theory comes from. So if you observe something in a positive way, like I said, you should have a positive outcome. And a couple years back, a book was released called The Secret, and that's what it talks about. It talks about positive energy and negative energy, having positive thought. And this is the one topic I mentioned earlier that could actually change your life. And I really believe that if you're positive,
You'll attract positive.
you'll attract positive, right? So, and I also believe that we control our lives. We're the maker of our freedom. We choose who we want to be. And if we choose a positive life, chances are we're going to have a positive life. So, in this book, The Secret, like she said, you're having positive energy. If you visualize something in a positive way, you'll attract that positive energy. If you visualize something in a negative way, you'll attract negative energy. Now, you listeners can go and look into that if you want. I'm not going to get too much on how that works. That book explains it pretty well. But now this book, The Secret, they say it's a secret, and there's this whole storyline behind it that these ancient philosophers or these old philosophers knew this secret, and they wouldn't tell anybody, and they'd keep this power to themselves. And basically, they wouldn't tell anyone how the power of mind worked. I don't think it's really that big of a secret. I think it's integrated in all religions. Religions tell you to be positive and pray, and that's the same concept. If you be positive and you pray, it's pretty well the same as being positive and visualizing something.
Yeah, because when people pray, they pray for good, not for evil. But you're obviously not going to pray for something that's destructive.
Exactly, and even religion says if you pray for something bad, it's not really going to get granted, is what they tell you, right? Because you're praying to God, if you're, and that's what it's saying. If you're praying to God, you're praying to that positive energy. And you're not going to get anything positive if you're thinking negatively. Now, I don't really think it was, like I said, that big of a secret. And it's been all over the place. There's one quote that I read a while back that stuck in my mind, and I'll share it with you guys. It's, "Thought is a force, and philosophy should be an energy. It should find its aim and its effects in the amelioration of mankind." And that quote is actually from the book Les Misérables, which was a movie that came out not too long ago. And the writer of that book is Victor Mary Hugo, and he was alive during the 1800s. So the big lesson here is just to be positive. Live happily. If you want to achieve good in life, which I mean most humans do, it's just instinct to want to have a good life. And that's the secret behind it, is just be happy, be positive. Take this information and put it to good use. I mean, it's the laws of attraction. Do more research on this topic. It could really change your life. Energy is everywhere. Energy is a beautiful thing that we don't fully understand, yet we use it every day, and there's no possibility without it.
Yeah, that's a good way to end this episode. We also noticed that in the past few days of releasing these episodes, we've been hitting many views, and we want to hear more from you guys. So you can send us an email, or you can send us comments on the podcast, and we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, send us an email. If you guys have a very interesting topic that you guys want to hear on the show, let us know. If you guys say something really interesting that we think is worth sharing with the listeners, we'll share it. We'll quote you guys. We'll say where you guys are from, what your name is, and hopefully you guys can share a little bit with us. Thank you for listening to the Third Eye Podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and really send us an email. Let us know what you guys are thinking. That's thirdeyepodcast@outlook.com. We're the Colt Brothers. Until next time.